Let's read together from Genesis chapter 2. God formed man out of the dirt from the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life. The man came alive, a living soul. Then God planted a garden in Eden in the east. He put the man he had just made in it. God made all kinds of trees grow from the ground, trees beautiful to look at and good to eat. The tree of life was in the middle of the garden, also the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God took the man and set him down in the Garden of Eden to work the ground and keep it in order. And God commanded the man, "You can eat from any tree in the garden except from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat from it. The moment you eat from that tree, you're dead." This is the word of the Lord. Have you ever been to a wonderful place? Can you remember what it was like? I bet you felt that the people were very, very hospitable. They were so friendly. And the place was just beautiful, lots of trees. And it was so different. The pace of life, the soulfulness of the little restaurant that you visited, and you just long. Perhaps that's the place you're going to on vacation now. So what makes this place and this experience so good for you? But if you think it's just the place, you're mistaken. People that are interested, scientists in experiences, discovered that it has more to do with you than with a place. It was wonderful because you had some space inside of you. First of all, time. There was no time constraints, deadlines. And you weren't occupied in your mind with a lot of things that should happen and that you should do. So you were empty and you were open. And you actually experience a good frame of mind that enabled you to see what's really around you. Because we tend to see as we are, not to see as it is. Paul refers to this when he wrote to Titus and he said, 1 verse 15, "For those who are pure, everything is pure. You will see as you are." So if you can change and get an opening in yourself, the world around you can look different. And then, of course, there's the other issue of you've been accustomed. In psychology, they talk about habituation. You are conditioned. You don't see the tree in front of your house anymore because you see it every day, all the time. And you've built in a filter. So if you can break those two tendencies in you, you can wake up to the reality that's around you. And I think that's the invitation of the book of Genesis and the passage we are looking at is wake up. There's another place, a wonderful place, and you're invited to go to that place. And that place is right where you are. So there's two big invitations in this passage that we've read that can help us to wake up to what really is. The first one is to look around you. You are formed and then you were placed. There's a certain place that you live and that all encompasses your life. God gave you the greatest gift that you could ever get. And that is the gift of life. Think about it for a moment. It's actually very logical. If you haven't received the gift of life, you wouldn't exist. If you didn't exist, there wouldn't be anything. But now there's something because you are. God gave you the gift of life. And he created you the way you are. And he's given you a place where you are. And all of that is your life. Just think about it for a moment. Your sex, your family, your father, your mother, your brothers, your sisters, your tribe, your language. This is a specific place, the land that you find yourself in. It's all given to you. Now, and it's actually very, very large, because in Genesis, the earth became the world that consists of different worlds. Adam and Eve slept together. You know, there's the world of sex. It's the world of romance. And then they got two children, Adam and Cain. And they decided to go into different worlds. Cain became an agriculturalist. You know, he became a farmer. And Abel became a sheepherder. It's different worlds. And in both of those worlds, there are different nuances. There's different values. There's different ways of doing things. We call that culture. So there's a lot of cultures and a dominant culture in a place that you live. All of that entitles your world. Can you for a moment just sense the world that you are living in the worlds that make up your world? You know, is it economic, educational, political? Where do you work? Your friends, your hobbies, your family, the place that you stay, the community that you're part of, all of that is your world. Can you accept it? Do you love your world? Are you thankful for your world? There's something in us that don't want to be who we are. We don't want to accept the place that's been given to us. Now, just listen to the words of Paul to the Corinthians. And don't be wishing you were someplace else or with someone else. Where you are right now is God's place for you. Live and obey and love and believe right there. Right there. Can you do that? Abba Anthony, he has a little story about him. Somebody asked Anthony, what shall I do in order to please God? He replied, do what I tell you, which is this. Wherever you go, keep God in mind. Whatever you do, follow the example of the Holy Scripture. Wherever you are, stay there. And do not move away in a hurry. If you keep these guidelines, you'll be saved. Now, Anthony left the city and he moved into the desert and thousands of people followed his example. But there's something important in his example and the message that he's given. It's not a matter of what can I change in my life and I change it. Should you change it? Is it good to change it? Where's God in this? What has God given you and what should you accept? Otherwise, you will never be you. Otherwise, you will never be able to live your life and the life that you should live. You'll never be happy. You'll be an imposter. And of course, there'll be something inside of you, a hunch that you will get. I feel like an imposter. I don't belong here because you're not you and you're not where you should be. Now, so there's a very important thing that if you can't connect with what's been given, you'll never be happy. Because wherever you go, there will be. And you will carry your inner dwelling with you, and it would be the same in a very short while wherever you are. But there's another thing that you discover about the place that you're at. Not everything is good. there's bad, there's a lot of pain. Because we find ourselves now east of Eden. It's an expression from Genesis 3:23. After Adam and Eve sinned, they had to leave paradise. And now they lived east of Eden. And what happened here? It's referred to as the original sin, and perhaps in a few sentences that won't do it justice, but might give you just a hint or a feel for what's this all about. God's given them everything they need to live. He's given them paradise. They had to receive it, not take it, not create it for themselves. They had to trust God for it and be dependent upon Him, because they are not God. He created them, us and them, and given us everything. Now, the words in Genesis 3:22 is an image. God said, oh, if man just didn't stretch and took and eat it, it would have been different, because now he knows what is right and wrong, and now he will die. What's that about? Well, first of all, why is there a tree that they shouldn't take? Wouldn't it be better not to have a temptation and not to have a tree? Yes, but then we won't be able to love. We won't be able to do like God, to exercise a free will. And God said, here's an opportunity to do that. But trust me. There are two ways of knowing. You can know through experience, or you can know by trusting me. And avoid that experience, because that experience was taken, stolen you. You will die. And the word literally for die means to be cut off. From what? From God. And it happened. Because they said, I want to know for myself. You know, it's like a virus. A very deadly virus. You don't want to get the virus to know if it's really true and what it all entails to have this virus. Now, you do everything to avoid the virus and get knowledge from it, from experts. We are very blasé when it comes to experiences. We want to experience everything. We've got FOMO, fear of missing out. We don't, doesn't matter what. I want to do it, even if it's just for once. But that one experience can destroy your soul. Forgiveness is not the issue. The guy next to Jesus on the cross was forgiven, but he still died on the cross. He still had to sit with the consequences of the decision he had made in his life. So, friends, let's be very careful. And this is what happened to them. They died. They were cut off from God, from themselves, from each other. Suddenly they experience fear and they blame each other, things that they never knew of before. They were cut off from the earth, from nature. But there was an original blessing before the original sin. And that wasn't destroyed, wasn't taken away. Man still wanted to know. He still had a rational capacity and capability. They wanted to connect. They wanted to love. They wanted to create. They wanted to live forever and not die. But they are now cut off. And that's what it means to live east of Eden. I love C.S. Lewis's explanation. This is my take on it. He says, whenever you are able to find your heart and get to know your heart, you will discover that there are desires and needs within you that cannot be met by anything or fulfilled by anything or anybody in this earth. And he says, well, my only conclusion is that I've been made for something else then, not from this earth. But we will always think and believe that I can fulfill this need. There is something. And I will stretch, and I will take, and I will eat of it. But you'll soon be disillusioned. Of course, there will be a honeymoon phase with a new work, with a new relationship, with a new place that we move to, with a new car, whatever. There's always a honeymoon phase. But soon, it will disappear. And you'll be disappointed. And you either blame yourself or you blame somebody or something else for the disappointment. You'll become very demanding. You shouldn't have done that. You owe me this. But nothing can fulfill this. Of course, James says, this is the reason of all the wars and all the fighting. James 4, chapter 1 and 2. That's the reason, the willfulness, the ego, the need, and the conviction that it's mine and I'm entitled to it and I will take it. And it should do something for me, but it won't. So we live in a world that is broken. We live in a world that needs tending, that needs some work. And it doesn't matter where you go. Even if it looks so wonderful, you'll discover the world is broken there. But the next invitation is to look within you. God formed you. He placed you in a place to do a certain work. You are able to do work. Now think for a moment. What does it mean to work? Well, the first work was a gardener. You take the raw material, the ground and the scraps and the plants and everything that they are, and you rearrange it. And by doing that, you create something. And it is good because it's better. There's more fruit. And life can flourish through what you did. You subcreate, like God created us out of the dust. We use the dust to create out of what is. It reminds me of a old monk who was responsible for the garden in the monastery. And the abbot came to visit and he looked at the garden and said, isn't it wonderful? Just look at God's handiwork. What God did. You know, look at this wonderful colors and everything. And the old monk felt about, can't he see what I did? I did something and he can't keep it to himself any longer. And he just blurted out and said, yes, you should have seen this place when it was only the God's place. You know, how it looked. Yes, we can co-create. We can do things. And that's true of every work. Think of construction. What do? You took raw materials, bricks and cement, and you put everything together and rearrange it. And there's a house that gives safety, security, comfort, refuge. You know, and it's the same with medicine, music. We take sounds and we say, I arrange the sounds. And I produce a wonderful song that inspires, that soothes, that has a big effect on us. Think about storytelling for a moment. You know, the film industry, it's all about taking the raw material of experience and put it in a narrative form, make stories out of it. And then we've got all these genres. It will scare you. It will inform you sometimes, you know. It will surprise you. You know, it will warn you. It will make you feel so good about the goodness of life. All different genres. It gives meaning. It gives understanding. It's important to us. And we love it. So what's your work? What do you do? And how do you make it a better place, the world? You've got the potential. God says you must do it. And here's the thing. We don't do the same thing. If you look at Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, Cain was a farmer and Abel was a sheep herder. The one went for the animals and the other one went for the ground. Why? Well, it's just how they were made. They had a passion. They were attracted to it. They were interested in it. It just gave them consolation and they found pleasure in doing it. And it's just the way that we made. And Paul says in Romans 12 that that's perhaps the first step in finding the will of God is discovering your gifts and what God has given you. You know, what can you do? What can you do well? We are all a 10 somewhere. And it's an adventure to find it. It's sometimes very painful. Because again, we want to be something else. We want to do something else. And we think of ourselves in ways we're not connected to the true self on the inside. So here's the invitation to bring those two wonderful worlds together. My inner world, the way that God made me, discovering my true self, and the pain and the need in the world that I find myself in. And if I can bring these two things together, I discover the reason for my existence. I discover my calling. I discover meaning in life. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the wonderful way you've made us. Help us to see who we are. Help us to acknowledge and help us to accept. Thank you for that, Father. Open up our eyes for the world that we find ourselves in. You know, in our romantic, in our family, and all the worlds that we live in that make up this world that I'm part of. Help me to see. Help me to see the goodness. Help me to see the pain. And help me to connect with the pain that I should to fulfill, to help, to make this world a better place. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.